This is Peter Daring, founder and CEO of Peak Design, and you're listening to Petapixel Photography Podcast with Sharky James.
This episode is sponsored by our friends at FreshBooks. The weather is better, and if you're a freelance photographer or a small business owner, you'd much rather be out in it shooting rather than dealing with paperwork, right? And that's where the cloud-based accounting software from FreshBooks comes in. To sign up for your 30-day free trial, go to freshbooks.com/petapixel and enter petapixel in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Thank you, FreshBooks, for your support. Welcome to the Petapixel Photography Podcast, episode 106. A Zeiss loses out to a Sony. In this episode, a Sony lens tops a Zeiss, Shutterstock one-ups Adobe, an interesting Canon patent emerges, Zeiss drops three new lenses, rock band Motley Crue may be learning a lesson, and how far is too far in manipulating images? All that and more in episode 106 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Thank you so much, Peter, for opening the show. I greatly appreciate it, brother. Peter Daring is the founder and CEO of a really amazing company called Peak Design. If that name sounds familiar, it might be because you know how incredibly thought out and well-made their gear is. If you don't own one, you probably know someone who does. Remember that bag that Trey Ratcliffe designed a while ago? The Everyday Messenger bag? That's theirs. And if you've ever seen one in person or have handled one, you know it's not at all an understatement when I tell you it's perhaps the best made bag out there. It's the bag that if you take care of it, it'll take care of you for a long, long time. And it's that mindset of creating gear that will not only serve you well, but last a long time that's behind the ethos at Peak Design. And that has Peter Daring written all over it, of course. Every time Peter and Peak Design have a product and take to Kickstarter, they raise ridiculous amounts of money. And that's a clear sign of the support that they have out there in the photographic community. I mean, that bag that Trey Ratcliffe designed alone raised, what, like over $1 million? That is just unheard of. Peter is a great guy. He and his team make great products, and you can check them all out over at peakdesign.com. And I'd like to thank you all for joining us here in episode 106 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. We appreciate you all so much, and thank you all for subscribing, rating, and reviewing us in iTunes or wherever else you listen to us. And as always, we appreciate hitting that subscribe button so you don't miss a single episode, as well as telling your friends on social media and elsewhere and helping to get the word out about this show. Okay, with that, I'm your host, Sharky James. Let's hit it. All right, I ask you, why would you spend twice as much money on a lens when you could get better performance with the cheaper one? To impress other photographers, you say? Okay, I'll buy that. You know, whatever floats your boat, I guess. That kind of thinking reminds me of a guy that I used to see at games. He was decked out with 2 to 3 cameras and a bunch of fancy lenses, like he was working for SI or something, but he wasn't. He enjoyed looking like a photographer and paid quite a bit of money to do so. And you know what's funny? Is we rarely saw his photos. I mean, he machine gunned everything, and you hardly ever saw a photo out of him. We all know somebody like that, right? Maybe it's a really expensive Halloween costume for them, and they just carry it over into life. I don't know. Anyhow, I should probably say up front here that the comparison I'm about to tell you about involves two different camera systems, Sony E and Nikon F. But it's worth noting that the Nikon features a Sony sensor, so if you squint, you can kind of see this comparison in your mind's eye. DxO Mark just tested Sony's new 85mm f1.4 G Master lens, and it turns out that the company really hit it out of the park because it bests the fancy schmancy and twice as expensive Zeiss Otis 85-1.4, which goes for more than twice as much. And while it's by no means as scientific as DxO's testing, everyone that I know who shot both lenses prefers the Sony G Master, so this doesn't really surprise me. The two bodies tested, by the way, were the amazing Sony A7R Mark II and the equally awesome Nikon D810, two ridiculously incredible cameras. Now, the Sony only beat the Zeiss by 1 point overall, but a win is a win, and when you can win and save $2,700, you'd really have to stretch to make an argument for spending the extra dollars, I think. Again, two different camera systems, mind you, but many are running two different camera systems. So it is a consideration for a lot of people. I don't know. Maybe the yellow lettering on that Otis looks really good to you and it's worth the extra money. Something. I just don't get it. In both sharpness and distortion, the Sony also beats the Zeiss. That's why you buy the good glass, right? So again, why pick the Zeiss over the Sony? You just wouldn't. Now, of the comparison, DxO says, quote, "It comes as something of a surprise to find that the Otis and Sony perform at similar levels. Indeed, on the newer Sony body, the 85mm f1.4 is rated at a level similar to the Zeiss Otis, which lens is considered the benchmark in today's optics for full-frame cameras," end quote. Or at least was. I mean, now it'll be the Sony G Master. As of this recording in the middle of September 2016, the Sony 85mm f1.4 G Master is the top performing E-mount lens that DxO has ever had in their labs. But here's the thing, you can get nearly the same performance as that Sony from another lens that Zeiss has, the 85mm f1.4 Batis, and that comes in at $600 less. So $1,200 versus $1,800 versus $4,500. I mean, the decision seems kind of clear there, doesn't it? When people say that they don't have options for great glass, they just don't know what's out there because there is quite a bit. Even Tamron and the other companies have amazing lenses out there to be able to choose from. Sure, it costs a little bit of money, but you're not getting incredible glass for a couple hundred bucks. That's just not going to happen. Not lenses like these, at least. Ain't happening. What's that now? Oh, yeah. Next. Despite the look at me nature of the world we live in now with constant selfies and the sharing of said selfies, I think that overall people are more accepting of their bodies, don't you think? So I think that's why we've seen an increasing backlash towards magazines, etc., airbrushing the heck out of photos. Airbrushing. We don't even use that term anymore, right? I mean, we just say photoshopping these days. That seems to be the go-to term. Well, regardless of what you call it, people want real these days. They're tired of being tricked into believing that a model looks one way on her Instagram feed, which you can't exactly Photoshop the heck out of, and another on the cover of insert fashion magazine here. Now that said, I support someone's right to be viewed however they wish. I mean, after all, it's their body, and if anyone gives them crap about it, they're the ones that are going to hear about it. So, you know, basic personal responsibility. Now, in practice, if you're shooting senior photos or whatever, and your client asks if you could tone up their arms because, you know, it's been a rough winter and they'd rather not have photos out there that immortalize them that way forever, you can definitely do that. And, you know, especially if they're paying for these photos, is that really such a bad thing? Moral judgments aside, it's their photos, right? The same thing goes for guys as well as women. I don't think it really matters what gender you are. You know, we've removed blemishes from people's faces for decades, right? So they didn't have to stare at that zit forever. So why not make some reasonable or even unreasonable body adjustments? It's their photos. Then again, if they're posting them to social media for their friends to see, it perpetuates the problem. So I don't know. I mean, listen, I don't have all the answers here, folks. Seriously, good parenting, I think, goes a long way. Society, that's a tougher nut to crack. So a software company based in London, England called Anthropics Technology has released a new program that they've been working on very hard called Portrait Pro Body, which it says, quote, is the industry's first dedicated full body retouching software, end quote. You know, it's 2016 and I'm surprised that this didn't exist already. I mean, I don't do this level of retouching, so I had no idea about this, but it's just one of those things that you figured just already existed, right? Nope. The goal of this software is to streamline the process of retouching and such so you don't have to dive deep into Photoshop for many hours when you just need to get some photos out the door to your clients. In the program, there are six main panels, and those are markup, shape sliders, shape tools, skin, face, and picture. In some of the before and after photos on their website, they've made a man's shoulders more broad, taken a number of pounds off a woman's midsection, made a thin man to look to have a bigger frame, completely gotten rid of a woman's loose abdominal skin. I don't know if that was from having a baby or from previous weight gain, but they got rid of it. And in another photo, completely got rid of bad acne and scarring on a woman's back. It looks pretty straightforward based on the promotional video that they have out demonstrating it, and there's a 30-day free trial, so you can give it a try yourself. Now, of this new offering, the company says, quote, "The new offering eliminates the need to learn complex techniques or make the substantial time or financial commitment associated with old-school retouching. User-friendly, a free trial is available, and affordable. It makes professional, full-body portrait editing accessible to all," end quote. This would definitely be something for people who can't afford the services of our friend, Master Retoucher Product Nayak of Solstice Retouch. This is going to come in a lot cheaper, especially if you have many photos to work with. Portrait Pro Body comes in at $40 for the standard standalone program, or the Studio Pack, which includes both Photoshop and Lightroom programs, for $60. Hey, if it works as well as their videos lead you to believe, your clients are asking for these services anyhow, and you don't have moral objections to it, that's an easy purchase right there. I mean, that's not a lot of money, especially if it saves you time. You know, time is money, as they say, or that's time you have back to spend with your kids, your spouse, etc. I've been mentioning Photo Mechanic in this regard like crazy since I've been shooting a lot of sports here lately. You know, someone on one of the Facebook groups that I'm part of said she saved many hours by using it. And that's one thing that you can never get back. Time. You know, money, yes. Your sanity, perhaps. But time, never. So I think it's great that there's these programs out there that help you save time and get on to doing other things. Even if it's freeing up some time so you can do things that you've been meaning to do for a while now, like binge listening to every episode of this podcast, perhaps. Next. As we always say here on the podcast, thanks to the amazing technology available to us, sharing our photos is so easy. And so is running your business if you use FreshBooks. Whether you make your money with photography or you have another small business, you'd rather be shooting and editing your photos than dealing with paperwork, right? I know I would. Well, FreshBooks solves this problem by making it incredibly fast and easy. Their amazingly simple cloud-based invoicing solution keeps your cash flow details all in one place so you know exactly who you've invoiced, who's paid, who hasn't, and what your income is. And their FreshBooks mobile app is awesome. It lets you take pics of your receipt and organize them later so you have them all ready to go come tax time. Do yourself a favor and check out FreshBooks. You'll be more prepared, less stressed, and you can get back to enjoying your life and doing what you love most. Amazingly, on average, FreshBooks users get paid a full 2 weeks faster when accepting online payments. They cut 2 days a month of administrative tasks, and they double the revenue in the first 24 months. More time shooting means more time to make money rather than shuffling papers. And right now, FreshBooks is offering a free 30-day trial to our listeners. Just go to freshbooks.com/petapixel and enter petapixel in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Thank you so much, FreshBooks. Canon seems to be patenting things like crazy in recent months. And hey, maybe that's a sign that the camera giant still has some fight left in it and some really cool things might be coming down the pike for the Canon brand loyalists. I'm going to go off on a short tangent here, but I want to say that I completely respect brand loyalty. Like rooting for your favorite team because they're from where you're from, or being a big fan of Disney movies because how they make you feel. There's not a darn thing wrong with it, I think. You know, I thought I was loyal to Canon until Nikon's offering wooed me. And then I took some hefty gulps of the Sony Kool-Aid, as we know, before I bought the Nikon D500, and that won my heart. Can you tell I'm loving that D500, by the way? I think you can. You just know when a camera feels right to you, right? I mean, you know it. If you've never had that feeling before, then you haven't found the right camera. Because once you find one that makes you feel like you made a great purchase and it's just ticking all the boxes for you, that is an amazing feeling. What's funny is one of your fellow listeners messaged me recently on Facebook saying something like, gives Nikon crap for months on the podcast, then goes and buys a Nikon D500. Yes, I see the irony here, but like I always say, they're just tools. Get the right tool for the job and you'll enjoy photography much more. I still love my Sony a6000. You know, right now it's doing a great job of keeping my notes from flying off my desk when the fan makes its way around, but that's about all it's doing these days. I'm all about the Nikon D500, but there is another camera on the way, and I'll be talking about that soon. Some of you already know what I'm talking about. especially if you follow me on social media, which is LensShark everywhere, by the way. A couple of months ago, in July of 2016, we reported how Canon would soon be releasing lenses with all digital displays in them, much like those in Zeiss's Batis line. Thanks to images found by our friends over at Digicame Info, it looks like possible information which may appear in these displays are things such as hyperfocal distance, aperture, and the degree to which image stabilization is kicked in. It also appears that you may be able to view that info with white lettering on black or the reverse of that. Maybe it's user switchable. I don't know. That'd be kind of cool. As has been previously reported, the first lens which looks to be getting this all-new digital display is Canon's EF 70-300mm f4.5-5.6 IS Mark II. That lens is rumored to be announced sometime before Photokina, so look for that to come out in the next couple of weeks here. But will it have a digital display in it? I don't know. We'll see. I suspect it's going to. In fact, I think this is where it's going for everyone. I think you're going to see digital displays in most, if not all, lenses going forward. Because why not? You know, companies need to do something to entice you to upgrade to their next Mark version, right? We're in 2016 as I record this, not 1996. I think it's time that we have digital displays in our lenses. It's so easy to do. And it's yet another reason for people to be like, oh, wow, new lens. So as everyone refreshes their lens lineups to resolve higher and higher megapixel camera sensors, I think you're going to see things like this. And, you know, at first you're going to be mesmerized by it, and then you're going to forget it's there in a few days. But it's still going to be kind of cool. You're going to be like, hey, look, I have a digital display on my lens. It shows my hyperfocal distance. And then the other camera nerds are going to be like, wow, that's kind of cool. And then you're never going to talk about it again, because that's how things go with these things. Hey, anything they can do to sell more lenses and stay in business is good for all of us, I think. Next. First, Instagram borrowed stories from Snapchat, and now it looks like Shutterstock has taken a cue from Adobe Stock. Much like Adobe Stock did in its June 2016 Creative Cloud update, Shutterstock's Photoshop plugin now lets you search, edit, and license stock images from right there in Photoshop. You're able to choose an image, edit a watermarked version, and then from there, all you have to do is click License Image, and not only does it remove the watermark, it retains all the edits that you made to it. That is really nice. You know, you get to test drive it, see how it looks in your design, and then go ahead and purchase it. And if you think about it, that's how it should work, right? I mean, that just makes sense. And as Shutterstock CEO John Oringer points out, they actually have the edge over Adobe in this regard. He says, quote, "This is the largest stock photography collection ever to integrate with the Adobe Photoshop application. With this plugin, we are providing creative professionals the convenience to search for and test more images than ever directly from the editing tool they are using." End quote. Now, if you can make use of this, Shutterstock's new plugin is compatible with Photoshop CC 2014 and newer on both Mac and PC platforms. And if you hit the show notes for episode 106 at petapixel.com/podcast, we'll have that link for you over there. Next. If you enjoy quality glass and can afford it, you might be interested in three new lenses in Zeiss's Milvis line: a 15mm f2.8, an 18mm f2.8, and a 135mm f2. That now makes nine lenses in this oft-forgotten line from Zeiss, which are meant for high-resolution DSLRs. Of these lenses, Zeiss Camera Lenses product manager Christoph Casanave says, quote, "The Zeiss Milvis lenses have been designed in particular to fulfill the requirement of today's powerful digital cameras and those of the future thanks to their high imaging performance, even in difficult lighting situations. It is an invaluable investment for the future due to its excellent imaging quality and its large range, which now covers 15 to 135 millimeters," end quote. As with the six lenses preceding them, all three of these new Milvis lenses feature what Zeiss calls harmonious bokeh that's facilitated by a floating element design which compensates for errors at different distances. The lenses also control the heck out of flare thanks to the company's T**, I don't know how else you pronounce that, anti-reflective coating. Maybe it's **. I'm going to call it **, from now on. Their 15mm f2.8 has an extremely wide 110-degree field of view and minimal distortion. That's their words. Their 18mm f2.8 features, quote, "a newly calculated Zeiss Distagon optical design," end quote, which keeps it fairly compact, and the company also says it's, quote, "the ideal companion for landscape and architectural photography," end quote. Now, it's that 135mm f2 lens that portrait photographers will be especially interested in. And the company says it's a, quote, perfect lens for portrait photography from a medium distance, end quote. And that's due to that nice bokeh that it produces at that fast f2 aperture at 135mm. You know, the 135 gets overlooked a lot because photographers hear that the 85 is the portrait lens. But when you try a 135 f2 and your eyes get really wide, then you understand how useful it is. Don't discount the 135, I tell you. It is a great focal length if you're doing portraiture, and you definitely have to check it out at some point. It might be your new favorite lens. You never know. All right, now you're going to want to back the Brinks truck up now because, of course, with these being Zeiss lenses, they are not at all cheap. But you know what? Quality is worth paying for, as I've said here before, and these lenses are surely outstanding. The 15 goes for $2,700 US, the 18 comes in at $2,300, and that 135 can be yours for just $2,200. They're all available for pre-order right now, so if you're interested in these lenses, have at it. Next. As a photographer, one of the worst things is having your work taken. That alone really, really sucks. Even worse, though, is when your work is taken and it's used to make someone else money. Money that should be yours. I don't think you're going to find anybody out there that would say that that's okay to do to somebody, because it's not. And this is what's being alleged by two photographers against the 80s powerhouse rock band Motley Crue. I mean, of course it would be Motley Crue, right? I don't think somebody like Rick Astley would do this to you. You're just going to get Rickrolled, but that's about as bad as it's going to get. According to TMZ, photographers Barry Levine and Neil Zlossauer photographed the band back when they were huge in the 1980s and recently discovered that the Bad Boys of Rock used their photos on merch sold during their farewell tour. Those images are alleged to have appeared on everything from overpriced concert t-shirts to stickers to onesies for babies, without permission and without payment. Now, if you're Barry and Neil, you probably have giant smiles on your faces, because when a band with that kind of money steals from you, as opposed to just, I don't know, a small business, you're going to get a nice, big, fat paycheck. One that an attorney is going to take a third of, mind you. But hey, two-thirds of a lot of money is still a lot of money. Unless the band can prove that they had the right to use those photos, they're going to learn an expensive lesson about U.S. copyright law. Artists stealing from artists is no bueno. That's just not cool. I mean, stealing in general is not cool, but come on here. Now, assuming the photographers wholly own the rights to those photos, it wouldn't have cost the band all that much to properly license them. Certainly not as much as it would be to get sued for copyright infringement. So I suspect that a judge is going to realize that and realize that this is going to be a fairly high-profile case and could very well give the photographers a whole lot of money. Remember, it's something like up to $150,000 per infringement. They are going to get a ginormous paycheck, and deservedly so. I'd like to thank you all for listening to episode 106 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Don't forget to check us out at petapixel.com/podcast for the show notes and to see what else we have for you. If you head on over there, you can leave us a voicemail question that we can answer here on the show. And if you don't feel comfortable leaving a voicemail, feel free to email me at lensshark@gmail.com. And if you'd like to connect with me personally, hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, where I'm Lensshark. That's LENSSHARK. If you want to see the photos that I'm shooting these days, especially with that camera that's on its way that I'll tell you about soon, you want to hit me up on social media. And don't forget, if you'd like to support this show, support our sponsor, FreshBooks, if you can, head on over to freshbooks.com/petapixel and enter Petapixel in the How Did You Hear About Us section. They have a 30-day free trial for you. I'd love for you to check it out, and it'd be a great way of helping this show. Another great way, of course, is to head on over to my website, lensshark.com. If you have any Amazon purchase that you plan to make, whether it's camera gear or food or whatever you're going to get, head on over there, hit my Amazon affiliate link, and you'll be helping to support this show. And I'd greatly appreciate it. All right, with that, I'll see you all in episode 107. Well, it's f8 250th of a second outside. It's time to shoot.
Please subscribe to the Petapixel Photography Podcast. My daddy is the host.
and the degree to which image labeling. So easy for me to talk these days, I tell you. I'm going to have a brief after show right now. You know, people email me and tell me that I mispronounce this word or that word. And guess what? I know how to properly pronounce things. I just make mistakes. And I'm not going to go back and correct them. We don't have to get that anal about stuff here on the podcast. You understand that if I say nuclear versus nuclear, you know what I'm talking about, right? Some people feel the need to email me and let me know how to properly pronounce things, but that's okay. The world is not going to come to an end if I mispronounce a word. Obviously, I went to college, I know how to speak properly, and I make a mistake, and that's okay. So with that, I'll see you guys in episode 107. Wait a second. No one has yet pointed out that it's 107, because O, of course, is not a number. You see my point here. Next episode.